Their minds have no aspirations, they have no fear. Transcending falsity, they attain nirvana. All the Buddhas who dwell in the three times have relied upon the perfection of wisdom, and have become true and complete Buddhas of unsurpassable, perfect, and complete enlightenment. Therefore, the mantra of the profound perfection of wisdom, the mantra of insight, the unsurpassed mantra, the unequaled mantra, the mantra which calms all suffering, should be known as truth, for it is not deceptive. The mantra of the perfection of wisdom is proclaimed. Te ata om gate gate para gate para sam gate bodhi soha. Shariputra, this is how a Bodhisattva Mahasattva should train in the profound perfection of wisdom. Then the blessings arose from that samadhi and said to the Bodhisattva Mahasattva and the Avalokiteshvara that he has spoken well. Well done, O son of the lineage, it is so. O son of the lineage, since it is just so, the profound perfection of wisdom should be practiced just as you have taught, and the Tathagata is always to rejoice. When the blessed one had said this, the venerable Shariputra and the noble Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva Mahasattva and the entire gathering, as well as worldly beings, gods, humans, asuras, and gandharvas, rejoiced and praised the words of the blessed one.
So the purpose of engaging in the practice of Dharma is to discipline our mind. This is what we need to think about when we speak about practicing Dharma or the receiving Dharma. It's mainly to discipline our mind. If you really look at ourself and look at the way our mind exists within us, it's really undisciplined. It exists in a very undisciplined way. So therefore, we need to discipline that. However, we as beings or human beings, we remain under the domination of this undisciplined state of mind. So since the mind itself is undisciplined, and if we become, we become under the control of this particular mind, then we become undisciplined. So therefore, first purpose of our practice is to discipline one's own mind. And once you are able to discipline your mind, then you'll be able to discipline yourself. So discipline here again does not necessarily mean that you are, you're actually, giving up everything that you have and you're doing something that is really inconvenient for you and so on. This is not the kind of discipline that we're talking about. When we speak about discipline here, is to really to look at our own mind at this point. How it's very nature of our mind. It really becomes so, in other words, the mind is really one that really takes advantage of us. We think that we are the one, and we always boldly claim ourselves as we are independent, and we can do whatever we want, and we are the one who can determine where we want to go and what we want to do. But if you really look at ourselves and think very carefully, we are remaining under, enslaved by our own mind. Mind is the one that really, orders us to what we need to do. In other words, mind is an employer, and ourself is an employee. So therefore, now practicing Dharma, the practice of Dharma is to reverse that. Gain the power by yourself and the control of your mind. at this point, we are controlled by our mind. But practicing Dharma, as a result of practicing Dharma, is to control our own mind. It is because of this undisciplined state of mind which bring about all kind of suffering, including our physical, you know, aggregates as a human beings. According to Dharma, our very rebirth or the existence is said to be a result of karma and delusions. So, while through practice of one's own mind, you know, we need to discipline our mind. And how can we really discipline our mind? Is to now, to let the mind understands how things really are. So if the mind is able to, if your mind has a power to understand how things really are, then you will not undergo suffering. Because the mind, if the mind understands how things really are, then it becomes a correct state of mind. In other words, it becomes a perfect wisdom. So if you were to follow the perfect wisdom, then whatever you do will be correct. If something that is you are doing is correct and it is something that is perfect, then you will not undergo suffering. Because the problem with us is we know that we are undergoing suffering in our day-to-day life. Every day we experience some level of suffering. Speaking about three kinds of, you know, when we speak about suffering, there are three levels of suffering. The suffering of suffering, suffering of change, suffering of conditioning. Each and every day, we're almost suffering all three levels of, we're almost undergoing all three levels of suffering. So now, those sufferings are not something that really, come into existence from nowhere without a causes and conditions. And all of those three kinds of suffering, the suffering of suffering, suffering of change, and suffering of conditioning, all those three levels of sufferings has its own causes and conditions. And when we really look at what is the root cause of all the sufferings, if you really, you know, take your time and put in effort to really to see what is, you know, lying behind those sufferings, then you will find that it's the mind which does not understand how things really are, which is known as ignorance. We call it the ignorance mind. So this is the one that really, you know, led us to take a rebirth within this unenlightened existence and within the suffering nature of cyclic existence. It is through understanding this how things really are will then elevate yourself from or free yourself from suffering nature of cyclic existence to the enlightened existence. So therefore, making sure that whenever we are engaging in the practice of the Dharma, is it really helpful? Something that really helps to subdue mind, negative state of mind. And it is really helping us to really to develop and enhance a positive state of mind. So this is what we really need to be aware of whenever we think that we are engaging in the practice of the Dharma or we're receiving the teachings of the Dharma.
Or that the inside you never could never put on looking at the tongue that tumban don't need to be losing any good. Don't need to be losing it, the chowla, neck and other good is in the hands of Tony Tunis in the kids, and Kugulotte Hirana, he is so than that in the Mudatakim with it, and that ye tani, tagu, Gajang and Jessen. Let the Naji tani, the Naji, you know, and Kugulotte town, the Kinzana, he in the Kumai, but the answer to Sona. Pat,
so it is because of this ignorance we have taken rebirth within this cyclic existence. We haven't been able to go beyond this cyclic existence. Within the six realms, we haven't been able to really go ourselves beyond these six realms. So we are continuously revolving within the six realms because of this ignorance. So now how can we tackle this ignorance now? How can we really be to break the chain of taking rebirth within these six realms, in other words, cyclic existence or the samsara. So now, it is only through understanding of how things really are. It is through realizations of ultimate nature of reality will really then break the chain of taking rebirth within this unenlightened existence or the samsara. So now, speaking about, again, when we speak about, you know, understanding ultimate nature of reality, it is not simple. It's not easy at all. In order to be able to actually engage in the meditation of this ultimate nature of reality, the cultivation of wisdom that understands the ultimate nature of reality, one needs to undergo the practice of accumulation of merits. In other words, in order for to, you know, plant the seed, so to be able to have a wonderful fruition out of the seeds, first of all, one needs to really prepare a suitable ground or the suitable field where the seed can grow and give rise to its fruition. Similarly, in order for one to actually engage in the practice of meditation, engage in the meditation of understanding ultimate nature of reality, or the cultivation of practicing the cultivation of wisdom realizing emptiness or selflessness, first, it is crucial for one to accumulate merits by engaging the practice of purifications. So all those impurities that really, you know, all those impurities are the one that really, you know, obstruct one's mind to understand ultimate nature of reality. So therefore, it is while one is engaging in the practice of, you know, purifications, along with that, one can always examine oneself how things really are. How can we take an initiative of actually, you know, practice of how things really are? Then think about a very simple example of any kind of object that is in front of yourself. By taking that as an example of the object that is which is in front of oneself, is the object that exists in front of oneself really exists the way in which that appears to my appears to your consciousness, your own mind? Try to analyze and see, is there any disparity or is there any gap between the things appears to you and things really are? So this is how we really begin to, you know, we're stepping into a path where you're, you know, attempting to actually understand how things really are or ultimate nature of reality. And then sometime one can also take oneself as an example. When I take oneself as an example of I, is that I that really exists? The way in which that really, I think that is I. Way in which that really appears to you. Think about, you know, those are all a positive way of analyzing or being speculating. And so when you really go through the critical analysis of self and other phenomena, you'll at least draw a conclusion of things that doesn't really exist the way in which it appears to oneself. If you let go of that and you think about just whatever the object that appears in front of you And we always think about the object that appears to you is exists the way in which it really appears to oneself. But if you go through a critical analysis of this object, or oneself, then you will have a different idea of how things really are. So this is the stepping stone of analyzing ultimate nature of reality.
Kunshu-sun-chon-ne-yang-da-sa-khi-len-khen-de-la-na-namba-yin-yin-yin-ki-mo-bu-ji-hi-ni-namba-yin-ma-yin-ki-ka-ri-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-ta-ki-ri-
So this is as a practitioner, right from the beginning of one's practice of taking refuge in three jewels, I took refuge in three jewels, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. It is important to reflect your mind upon ultimate nature of reality. One must always, you know, one's practice must be done on the basis of this understanding of how things really are.
And go there second, they get that my pizza, the grand command and chill my pizza, and then my good children, I want to want to cock him, the go there is a running junior, put on the path tower there. Don't need to be hero digs of you. The path tower's how do you know? And then you run into your chip, my one day, and go there, the pack agri. A good you to join you don't have a tender.
So then this, you know, practice must be one's practice of, you know, Dharma must be done on the basis of, understanding of ultimate nature of reality. So it is because we all have the common aim to achieve happiness and overcome sufferings. So in order to fulfill that common aim, what we need to do is to really to understand how things really are, ultimate nature of reality, in other words. So therefore, if you really understand this, how things really are, then this will really take you a U-turn. And your idea regarding oneself and your idea of regarding other beings and other phenomena will completely change. And you'll have a less burden, your mind will be more peaceful, because your mind becomes completely liberated. Because you understand how things really are. Let's take an example of something that when we are struggling and when we are learning something, and when we are really putting a lot of effort and you are unable to understand the things, unable to understand what you are learning, and you are unable to really get that, and then you are struggling, and then you feel like you are, you know, trapped, you are confined, in other words, you know, mentally. But once you understand that, oh, I put all this effort. I knew it now. It's just your mind becomes so awakened, enlightened. And this is how you free your mind. So if you really come to understand how things really are, the ultimate nature of reality, this will, what we call, free your mind. This will really liberate your mind. So therefore, Buddha, right from the beginning of the teachings of the Buddha, after his enlightenment, Buddha taught four noble truths. First, among the four noble truths, he introduced suffering. And then the cause of suffering, the origin of suffering. Then the cessation from suffering, possibility of cessation from suffering. And then path leading to the cessation. This is the basic teachings. So Buddha taught his disciples. So the idea here is, because if you are able to identify, if you're able to understand and identify the suffering, then you look for the cause, you look for the origin that give rise to sufferings. When you're able to, when you're able to understand this origin of the suffering, then you need to tackle that origins. Because without uprooting the seed, the main cause of the suffering, there will no way that we can cease the suffering. So therefore, first identify the suffering. Having identified the suffering, then you try to look at the origin of sufferings. Then think about, is there a possibility that we can really cease that suffering, the origin of the suffering? And if you really come to understand, when you come to understand the possibility of uprooting this cause of the suffering, then what kind of method or the means or the skillful means to really to cut the root of the suffering? Cessation of this, cut the root of the suffering. In other words, to gain the cessations. In order to gain that, then that the means or the skillful means or the method that really leads oneself to suffering is known as the path that leads to sufferings. So this is the really, when you think about, you know, those four noble truths, it's the way the Buddha actually laid this, you know, foundation. It's a very, you know, comprehensive. Suffering needs to be understood. The origin must be eliminated. And then the origin of suffering must be uprooted. In order to do that, one need to apply a path or the wisdom that understand the ultimate nature of reality.
So my bad dong yin tuma mari pa ge kya na ki ma pa to di so so ge na ki kya na ki so so ra so tu ba mai ba de kwa ko de gro an de na yin ki kya na ki ma pa to un sa di lo an de lo tro che ge ge gu tu ni to bi hero de lo na tro to bi hero de ka de gu ri so na ne chang shu ge sen da de kan de che na je de chang shu ge sen de ro ba je ra na ge ne mo pa ra de pa pi cha di lo Hey, And the part of the city, Tanti, the regular than the two by the red to the Sanjit and the Pinu Guri. Sanji, they are so give you good money, Kay the Kanga, Tumba, take a lot of carriage, and you go to court and then the Pinu Sanjit and then you buy your it. And then you buy it, Daja Tama, and I'm up there. I just saw on the Tanaji and draw the city, Tanji, this Panma, Jemanu, Gamaji, Manu, who meets the Jan, Dumi, the Ha, Kony, and the Sanji, and the Kunti, the Chanchu, some Nazan language, and that around the city, and you mean Chanchu Sanjari. What
So when you come to understand how things really are, then your very understanding of how things really are, although it's also known as ultimate understanding the ultimate nature of reality, must be then complemented by the development of bodhicitta. So with the combination of these two, one will then be able to gain what we call the state of enlightenment. One will be enlightened, become an awakened one. And so so therefore, when you look at the teachings of the Buddha, so this entire teachings of the Buddha are encapsulated or condensed within the wisdom and the path, or wisdom and the method, in other words. Wisdom here referring to the wisdom understanding the ultimate nature of reality, and then the method here refers to the bodhicitta, or the universal compassion. So there here again, when we speak about the universal compassion and the bodhicitta, this practice of cultivation of bodhicitta is practiced only by the Mahayana practitioners. So when you receive the teachings, or when you do the practice according to the Theravadan traditions, you wouldn't really find this what we call mind of enlightenment or the bodhicitta. Of course, you'll find a profound explanation of what we call the Eightfold Path, and of course the wisdom realizing emptiness, wisdom realizing selflessness, and talks about compassion, infinite compassion, talks about infinite love, and so on and so forth. But you wouldn't really find bodhicitta in the Theravadan system. So therefore, in the Mahayana, the main aim for engaging in the practice of the Dharma as a Mahayana practitioner is to benefit all other sentient beings, working for the welfare of other sentient beings, in order to, engage in the activity that are beneficial and effective to fulfill the wishes of all other sentient beings, then one need to gain the state of enlightenment. So therefore, based on understanding of this ultimate nature of reality, then one's understanding of ultimate nature of reality is then complemented by the bodhicitta, which is altruistic intention to gain the state of enlightenment for the benefit of all other sentient beings. So this is what we call the unity of unification of wisdom and method.
What then? That then is gunjojin na. That tony to ni na gunjai jojin na. That tony to wa tangi ke tawa chini. Per paru to ya to then. La tempo che katu pande tu yo mari. Ani monu to tambo pa gun di pa. Ya sanju se tu ya san tongi tongi lo pa san tongi 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 sanju se te di asen ga tengi de ki gunjure. Ani gunju gundo de sanju ne tongi tongi gun di pa tempo na chini pa meri ki. Pas nulah degiya gunjung ke gunjung ke sana dulu, na, nulah di perhatiin bu, jikil pan nand, deh tu kan jipah santong, di per ringko ngaji cara pada tu ringko anu ke tindah tindah di, pasal tu kita anjo ulun daman dan dako sami ingin dapat dene, kagusin bu, cina deh ni, guma jo na, nulah di anu tengah dah ini ni di ke tu ni di per, nulah di tengah di tengah di per, yang ni bu deh tu ke mari, gunjung tu tengah, ni tu ni di tu, na kali tu ni di atu sana dulu, tambah santong sa, ni. Do
So this in the practice, you know, requires a lot of meditations, a rigorous meditation, in other words, because the Dharma practice, the practice of the Dharma itself, is to contemplate, think, and look inward, looking at one's own mind, and finding out what are the negative mind that needs to be eliminated, and what kind of mind that is positive that needs to be embraced or that needs to be cultivated within us. So this is all about practicing Dharma. So this is all the form of meditations. Meditation does not really mean that one is being in a very quiet place with a meditative posture by oneself, and then according to the Buddhist meditators, burning incense and being in front of altars. That's just, it is not necessary to have all of this. Meditation while one is walking, eating, and engaging in certain one's own work activities, you can always meditate. Meditation is in the Buddhist meditation particularly is to really to looking at our own mind. The Buddhist meditation emphasizes to subdue one's undisciplined state of mind. So the undisciplined state of mind cannot be eradicated or cannot be eliminated without going through a critical thinking. Because this undisciplined state of mind is with us from the beginningless time up until now. We're very much habituated with this undisciplined state of mind. So to break this habit, it is not sufficient for meditating for one time or 5 minutes or 10 minutes will really, change your habit. Let's take an example of someone who is actually, alcoholic and try to change that habit. Just not drinking alcohol for one day will not really help you. Will not really help you becoming non-alcoholic. So you need to find out a lot of different methods. A lot of different methods and a lot of different, antidotes that need to be applied to really break the habit of drinking. So it really takes a time. So therefore, when we think about this, our negative state of mind, the negative state of mind, particularly of anger, hatred, animosity, jealousy, all those are, if you really think very carefully, it's rooted in the self-centered mind, self-centeredness. It's all, arose out of the self-centered mind. First, you have the sense of I. Based on this strong sense of I, then you have mine. Then you make a distinction with others and mind and self, then you have a strong attachment towards oneself, and you have a aversion with regard to someone whom you dislike. So then you ignore someone who is whom you don't really know. So those are the three state of mind that we always employ. We always embrace ourselves. Hatred, attachment, and ignoring, in other words, the neuter, unpacified, in other words. So now, all of those three are actually rooted, if you really examine carefully, rooted in the self-centeredness. Particularly of the attachment towards oneself and one's own and mind and so on. First you have generated the self, that I. Based on this I, then I need this, I want this. I don't like, I like. So you have I always there. But the way that we really identifying, our way of identifying I, is something that does not really exist. Our way of understanding is very erroneous. It is completely erroneous, according to the Buddhist, Buddha Dharma, according to the Dharma. Our way of understanding of I, our way of understanding of self, our way of understanding of things that are in front of oneself, object, in other words. Very simple object that is in front of oneself. It's completely a way of looking at it, a mind that we think that we really understand, we really get it. It's all erroneous.
That is right. Well, then I need to treat it. Yeah, the back here, the kitchen, where it's a daddy, number you treat the garret is enough. And Joe Chamal, the pain, which you don't agree, Chamal, the article is a good. And Lanzo, the Joe Chamal, and Sandel touching and Lojak, the nigger, that's on the kid, the Avenue Pangamaria, much in general and over the Dammer and Dogger days. And number you treat the opportunity you see in the next country sent up to one. To be careful, John, you were sending in you some but then I sort of get a goon, chit you, sort of jewel, sort of saying about the pack, and never sort of going in a chit you. Well, then I get to gain enough. And this was a cheat. Long running path I got to enter water, the second time you take it, and it was something like it on you. That's how I make again, and it's sent deck doing it on you, doing it, Jar Chamal, and I don't check out. Chupa rohiyo la ga singur ga chupa rohiyo la ga ni du se namba te na yori ga to ga de de na ngam la che na lo chmu de du bu to do ji na na xia che ma lo de mi na lo chmu ji jian do se jian do ji ro de na ge ngam pe ro de ni te ki zo ngi gu ji la ge di bu ji ta do se a mo de ji o de na ye se de nam bi chi de Chamal Pengri said Pembang and Dungusun Latti to the Guri. Let's send the long to Kigu Mara, gentlemen, country, and it didn't go out at another dinner. John Diga.
So, if you really, you know, try to think about and analyze yourself, when you're actually going through the analytical meditation of understanding how things really are, the things that is in front of you, either in things that is in front of you or yourself. You know, in the very subtle level, you will really see some kind of, you know, the peaceful state is really functioning there. It is unlike, because if one is trying to fix some, mechanical things, you know, if and you have all kind of engines and you are looking at that, and then and there's a very big difference when you just analyzing that the machine that in front of you yourself and to try to fix and analyzing that, and then when you're actually analyzing how that machine really are, how this ultimate mode of existence of that machine in front of yourself. Although that your focal objects are same, the focal object of the you know object is the mission that you actually you wanted to really fix it, because it's something that has happened, it's gone wrong, and you want to fix that in a in and make it a normal function, as a normal functioning. So then similarly, the mind, the focal object of analyzing how that mission existence of actual mode of existence of this mission. So you're actually focusing on this one particular object. But if you really look at the difference in those two mental entities, one that wants to fix that and looking at this fuzziness and all the something that gone wrong with this, and then one that really looking at this particular object that you really want to know how actual mode of existence of this mission. So if you really, you know, think very carefully, you will experience that, the difference between those two. One is in a very, you know, very smooth, you would say, in a very subtle level that you will very experience a very subtle calmness there, a very peaceful experience that you may have. You will experience that. Whereas other, a lot of distractions are there. Anxiety, frustration. So this is the difference of, you know, well, if you really know how to really meditate on Buddhist technical term, emptiness, or ultimate nature of reality, will really enhance and develop your peaceful state of mind. And if you're able to, you know, enhance and develop your peaceful state of mind, and will then you will experience happiness, which we all seek to attain, which you all look for, you know, which we all wanted to be happy. So if your mind is completely distracted, and really, then regardless of, you know, who you are and what you have, then you are not a happy person. If you're not happy, you're suffering, literally. So therefore, meditating is to really to meditate, the Buddhist meditation is to achieve happiness. Is this time for break?
Couple more minutes.
Okay. Come
at Kamakashi Dosa, then yeah.
Come at Nisum Jesser.
Oh, the Nati did that. Chichi saying a tongue answered to Nadin, the Nati in the piggy. You end up with your pattern, don't you? You want a chitty 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 and you continue to dig up tumble in an ambiguity. You see the hear the trouble and you get the home and dorm and you dig a tizzy. Go couple your genically, calipaji corn and the cheat telepath him with ten day. But you soon can call about Sandy Chongi and dig a bad. No soon to my chin in my auntie Mendaji and a sort of hawk or chee, chee, and can the Mikey connect. Take Sibuke to her. And take cover it up, my go, and then I'm going to chicken the good name won't come out of what the lay in you.
So therefore, the Buddha Dharma requires a lot of thinking. It's just, you're like a, you become like a scientist, analyzing, experimenting, and calculating. So this is what all about Buddha Dharma. You just really have to think. Mm-hmm. And then again, historically, in the teachings of the Buddha, and then later on, the great Indian, you know, philosophers and Indian masters, renowned Indian masters such as Nagarjuna and so on. All of them are very critical thinking. They went through all kind of thinking. They experienced themselves, and whatever the experience that they have had, then share with others, and they let the other things, let other you know scholars think about how accurate that what he or she discovered. And it is all like the teachings of the Buddha. Later on, was explained, and then it's commentated by the great Indian masters. It's not just one master had just analyzed and draw a conclusion of right and wrong of the teachings of the Buddha, but rather it's just all the work of collaborations, experience, and how it really corresponds to the reality. So this is like a collaboration work. And so now for us, you know, we just look at those teachings and then think ourselves and always try to analyze ourselves, particularly of our own mind. How unhappy when the negative states of mind arises within you. Most of the time, we don't really consider that you're unhappy when you have jealousy towards someone. But in reality, you're suffering. You're not happy at all. Your mind is distracted. And let's take it by example. Again, another example, a very good example of that, you know, what you call it is animosity that we all have within. And we don't really think that animosity that you have is something that is suffering at all. But according to the Buddha Dhamma, it's a very strong form of suffering. The very mind that you have, that the animosity that, as you know, at the moment that animosity is generated within you, this will distract your mind and lead yourself to a very unhappy state. And then this will again develop into anger. And then if you really engage in the actions, body or speech, according to this animosity, this will be a negative actions. And once you have engaged in negative actions, at the moment that you are harming others, but in the long term, you yourself is the one who will experience the consequences. So this is how we always, you know, how the Buddha Dharma requires the practicing of the Dharma. It's steady to look at ourselves, look at inward, and what kind of mind that is very healthy, that makes us happy, what kind of mental attitude that I need to abandon, what kind of mental attitude that I need to adopt. So need to be adopt. So this is all about the teachings of the Buddha.
For 15 minutes. I have a quick question I'd like to pose, and then after the break, he can answer it if he chooses. He doesn't have to.
Okay.
And this is after you talked about animosity and jealousies and stuff. But I've come, and this has happened just lately in my meditations, and I've come a 360 change of view that I think you can actually meditate faster and quicker if you meditate with all women or all if women all meditate together or men, and I don't know because I'm not a man, so if men all meditate together, have sessions where they all meditate together, they can meditate deeper. What does he think, and how is it handled in the monasteries traditionally in India and Tibet are, would a group like this be allowed mixed, you know, so many mixed people
together
to receive high teachings like this?
Oh, okay.
So let him answer after the break if he chooses.
Sure. So I'll ask the question and then.
So when we are receiving the teachings at the monastery, we always receive the teachings with a group of, you know, monks. And it is not necessarily be one person is receiving a teachings from one teacher. So we, you know, gather together and receive the teachings, even hundreds of them together. And then people, you know, then also we receive the teachings from His Holiness. Not only a male and female together, internationally, you know, international people, we just all gathered and then received the teachings, a very profound teachings from His Holiness. So then when it comes to the practice, and it is entirely depends on individual's mind, you know, whatever that is suitable for oneself. Sometimes, you know, some individuals may find it's more suitable to practice as a group, and then some individuals, you know, wanted to be isolated or, you know, adopt solitude will be more effective when it comes to the practice. So it depends on one's own mind. However, in general, the practice in Dharma is first listen carefully, in other words, the listening, which means the listening to the teachings of the Dharma. And not only just you're hearing the word, but you should understand the meaning of the teachings that you have received. And then once you have completely understood the meaning of the teachings, the word itself, then you contemplate on the meaning of this, then you meditate upon. So then if you are really a serious meditator, then it is as an ordinary beings, if you have received all the appropriate instructions, then it is ideal to adopt solitude.
This is the first time I'm becoming much more aware in my quiet and still place the difference between the male and the female mind set and in the meditative way. And never mind. That's all I'll say about that. You know. So I really appreciate.
Is that a question you want to ask? This question?
No,
oh, okay. Okay.
I really appreciate the high monks who come here, because sometimes it might seem like it just might seem really different. The questions American women pose and ask of them, you know, and our concerns might seem very strange to them sometimes, coming from their viewpoint.
So you want me to ask this?
No, I just want to thank them for their
patience. Okay, the tuches la insa.
No.
Tuches la insa. Tamsam ma de teoro de de ma wu de gu yen de le chusa le ya da je la man da men na so pe de shin che xue du su de jian jia sa.
Mm.
Ji teo ji ya dan de 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 ge ya hu du su.
Yeah.
De guo hao ra du tu xu xuan su lu.
Mm.
De xin sa.
Xiong pe ba de chi si.
Any questions?
I think you actually partly already answered my question, but this is what it was before the break. I was thinking about that words are compound structures that differ from what they represent. And I was thinking about the conventional world is not what it seems. And so when we talk about analysis being the vehicle or tool that might take us to ultimate reality or help us to penetrate through the ignorance, I was thinking about, yeah, but analysis uses words, and can words that only point to something else actually take us to ultimate reality, which is much more, it seems to me, subtle, and that can't be realized by the mind that's thinking. But I think when you talked about meditation a minute ago and about taking the analysis and then meditating with it, I think that might be how they work together.
The Quran, more than the two of the and the chunam gi nilu ta ji che churwa nilu ta ji che la ya churwa ta ji che la ya ta ji sen de ta ji de ko sik khron cha de ruwa sik ruwa ko tan yi cha de ruwa ta ji che se tan yi de ne lo lo jang we to ge ni kan su nilu lia che ba che ruwa ruwa
네
So here again, when we speak about meditation, so we shouldn't have our understanding of meditation is only the meditative equipoise or the single-pointedness or single-pointed meditations. That's not the only meditation that, of course, this is a one part of meditation, but that's not the only, you know, meditations. There are a lot of different categories of meditations. For instance, we have
Generally, there are two different divisions of meditations. One is analytical meditation. One is single-pointed meditations. So analytical meditation is not you're meditating and focusing on one particular object single-pointedly, but rather your mind is actually going through everywhere with regard to this particular object. Try to analyzing an object that is in front of oneself and how this particular object that exists, and taking oneself as example I can hear, meditating oneself and trying to find the true nature of self, how this self really exists, by going through a critical analysis, beginning from sole of one's feet all the way to the top of one's crown of one's head, and then going all the way from crown of one's head to the tip of one's soul, and so on. So this is, you're actually trying to, you're meditating at the time, but this is not a single-pointed meditation, but rather analytic. You're just, you're analyzing. So you're actually focusing, and you're being very focused and being very contemplative. But yet at the same time, analyzing, shifting your mind from one to another, just going through all this. So there are, and then traditionally, the analytical meditation is said to be done prior to single-pointed meditations. Because once you are going, when you go through the analytical meditation of finding true nature of self, then you do analytical meditations, and it is through analytical meditation will enables one to really find the true nature of oneself. When you get to the point of finding the true nature of oneself, then one can remain single-pointed. One can, take the single-pointed meditations.
First of all, I have a question, but first I want to thank Geshe-la for talking about Dharma as a collaborative endeavor and requiring the process of experimentation and validation by others, because I received training in the scientific method and for social sciences, and it's based on a scientific method for everyone, and so I really I want to thank him. It helps me understand the Dharma even better. So that's the first part.
Daji che ni nyongwa le le atote,
nyongwa di le son ani shini ta chi chi ta di re di ma re si chi ta chi chi go re di ta wu re sha si chi di pe morong morong ki tante shi ze yun ten di nang chu chang ya le shi wu ping du su di re sha.
It's more I'm asking Bishop to help me think about this. It's related to karma. Karma related to horrific acts. This week, co-pilot possibly, they're saying he killed 150 people and himself in the mountain. There's a lot that's coming out, we don't know. But a lot of it was a horrific act, and about a month before there was Charlie Hebdo in Paris. Other, horrific acts. Some seem to have been committed with the intention of some hatred, possibly also being brainwashed. Some people are talking about radical Islam like a cult. So people are under different kinds of influences. If the co-pilot, to get back to him, was under depression and so forth, he may not have had the anger to kill people. I've read about many other horrific acts because I'm trying to understand, and I'm trying to understand the karma with these people, because I work with people all the time, and sometimes people do very, very bad things, and they don't necessarily do it in anger. They may not even admit, fully understand what they have done, deny it, although great harm sometimes is caused. Like Eichmann, for instance, who killed responsible for arranging a transportation to all the Dachau and these other places of killing. When he was, at his trials, he was just like, he presented himself as he was just a bureaucrat. So it may not have been done in great anger, but it's under a lot of ignorance. So I know that in the teaching of karma, there are different blocks of it, and some of it has to do with the intention. So the question is anger related to these very horrific acts, the one that's gonna, all things being equal, let's say there's 100 people being killed, some done in anger, or under the influence of negative emotions, is the one done in anger, and it's, let's say, it's not towards bodhisattvas and buddhas and all these other things. Let's say all things being equal, same numbers, but the intention is going to be different. Is that the anger that's the worst intention to have? That's what I'm trying to know. And also, with all of this, does he have anything else to tell me to help me on this, get in the right direction in that thinking about the karma related to these kind of things?
The more lehikon redo dahila. Lehikon dan de. Lehikon de. Le ta richi de. Ta kanda de le tamin na so shun gorba. Le tamin na so shun nane. Ene le richi de. Nchiko. Yanko. Sa. So kunu mebe yinpene le chik pena chik te suku tanda mebe kengi ne ta chik kanda ombu nyambe kengi an mele ya nwe kaya tabde de yung koro basi. Pene pena tatari nyeja koron pena chik ta namru chima dagyun chung bro basi. Namru dagyun chung wate namru kalo koron rang 마 즉 다지 청안에 마 요구 소럽시 독수조대 관리야 네 믿음나 되게 집으로 봤어 되게 돼 나 레컨데르 시레스 다 간다 레 코로 사베 카블리야 레 도슈기 지세 간데 여브레스타 간다 즉 꾸롱 꾸롱은 송기 레지다 꾸롱 대답을 제 꾸롱 매베 레지 니 용고로 봤어 들려야 잡아미도 가리오레스
뜻대로 저밍이 기자니 그런 디바티 쇼나 제반지라 컨 그러 봐 메기 일리지 사차디 메기 일리기 디보디 투구둘로 아니 리틀라 사톤 제반다 보지 되지 나서지 기멜 바산 띵도 보지 안다 보지 기멜 바네지 지안다 보도 된다 그런 건데 아니 그런 걸 하든 누구야 그런 걸 알리지 사이 그러와 비 발로 사드라 그런 걸 발로 뒤로 도지 지리 컬파 들으면 되지 않지 러시아기나 가르치나 컬라 발미 슈 소설이야 내가 랑힌기지 리딩 리부 치면 그러와 봐야 되거든요 근데 이 말이야
너
지지상ton 히드
레이턴티 여러분
아
삼벨레라 삼벨레체
아
젤마서 살마제버스 제사니가 왔다 텐도 인지르바
내려와진데 지로 응
노
벨리모보지 나도 길루게 돈리카 가르르 기나피 장편하다 뭐 길리지 사샤그로 요한도 뭐지네 메게 기나 가르지네 말싱이 지드나요 가르지네 리지 사샤그로 응
So here, you know, to
the Chinga the Kurba Dujaji Logisans and the Vigilis, I shared the dawn. You had the Hazi Hadi Kurba Jinia, and we were then Chibatan.
So the short answer to the question is Kishla saying, that's a difference when it comes to the accumulation of karma. Karma that is intentionally done and karma that happened accidentally. So that's a different. Although both of them are actually accumulating negative karma for sure, but the intensity of the karma is different. For instance, in the when it comes to the karmic theory, there are a lot of different, very complex explanations in the Buddhist In fact, it is the karmic theory is known as one of the subtlest and one of the it's a extremely subtle explanations that is involved. So there are one kind of karma that is accumulated but not executed, and then also karma that is executed but not accumulated. So what it really means is, for instance, if you have a intention of causing harm upon someone intentionally, that you have intention within you, and you have that intention very strongly with you, but you haven't been able to act out physically or verbally. You haven't been able to act out. You have not been, carry out. You have not been executed. That your intention. You have an intention. In which case, what we call that is called karma that is accumulated but not executed. But you have, again, having said that, you have accumulated, not executed. That doesn't mean that you have not accumulated negative karma, but you already accumulated negative karma. So then the other one is you have a very intention. With this intention, you actually execute the act. So in which case, you are completed. Both, execution and as well as your intention. So in which case, and you are actually accumulating a very
solid karma, in other words, very strong and it's very intense. There's a difference in intensities depending upon how you actually carried out the actions.
Yeah.
And some of them are so mentally, and then some of you then are not just mentally, but you have, based on your intention, you actually engage in that act and you have executed that act. Then, so, for instance, if the pilot, if he or she has not done intentionally, maybe a mental illness, or maybe some kind of physical illness and so on, it may have happened, but this will also accumulate negative karma. There's a negative karma. It's always there, but it's something that is lighter karma, in other words. It's a lighter than someone who intentionally caused that harm. So that's the difference, karma accumulated, not executed, executed but not accumulated. So again, you have killed someone or you have done something that caused harmful to others and with no intention, that happens, right? For instance, if you're walking to this down the street and you accidentally step on the bug and you kill the bug. So that in which that is, you have killed the bug, you still accumulate karma, negative karma. But you have no intention of doing that. But that's a lighter, the karma will be a little lighter. So this is what we call executed the action but not accumulated.
Last week Geshe-la was saying that there's no outwards, there's no one else that's going to give us, it's no deity or anything that's going to give us, tell us a good or a bad place. It's all through this accumulated karma. And given that there are some people who do commit things on purpose and they somehow they're not acknowledging it to themselves that they have. So I was wondering, that's the piece I was wondering. Yeah, people who will say, this is terrible, I did that, I was wrong, I meant to do it. And there are some people who say, I didn't do anything and they did. And so at the end, there's a karma. And so if somebody, so you go on to the bardo and you're reborn and you live and you're the second person, you're the person I didn't do anything wrong and so forth. So I wonder what kind of karma then they have as opposed to somebody who's acknowledged it and, maybe not confess it and maybe not purify it, but they're acknowledging it.
You mean they deny it?
Yeah. They deny. Well, it's they deny it to themselves, not just deny it to anyone else. But there are some people with no insight. I meet these people sometimes, and they don't penetrate to themselves. They don't want to somehow. They don't see it. They don't want to see it.
That area of their brain is damaged?
No, nothing like that.
No, like I work with epilepsy services.
I'm just thinking in terms of, the karmic, given that there's different minds, and when you move on to the next life, if you've never. Like, for instance, the book I was reading about Eichmann, I was just doing my job, okay? It was nothing, I was just doing the Führer, that was just, So there's no, but still horrific, as opposed to somebody who will have acknowledged it. What kind of karma did they get out there?
I mean, Rikshik, this was a giddy. 신제하고 계릭 양이하고 양제고 대벌 섬긴 쇼로 봤습니다. rikchi ya kiri kyun ke malingi rikchi warwa. Tiki kunyi ni migi wa lel samdhan chi warwa. Yini di debu nyongdang madang khari yoris kunyi li.
Tati teji haa kwa gyanita dina chiya tati diba chikiro dujirwa. Tiki dina mungi wa chana haa kwa gomarwa.
Yeso. Tini ni liya.
Tidigi dharji tanda unji yomir ki khokumaro, tidigi khaa kondigo yorwa. Sanji gita mochukuzi sumu shangi gita kuy tanda chiyade, kuy tanda bachya mundra to. Kashin tiri yadu yorwa.
So, this in the board will have a consequences of their own act. Definitely, no. Because, so, it is one that denies, you know, though that someone has actually engaged in all those horrific acts, but they deny that it's not a horrific act, this is something that is right, what it's meant to be, you know. So the another one is knowing that, you know, it is not a right. But then, so it says, according to the Buddha Dhamma, someone who know about, able to, you know bad and good, and deliberately engaging in the bad things, will be worse. Yeah. That is what he's saying.
All right, thank you.
I have a question for Geshe-la. I recently came across a term called Dharma Dhatu.
Dharma Dhatu, okay.
I'm wondering if you could explain it, because I'm kind of, I've run across different definitions, but I don't really fully understand what it means and how it applies to Dharma practice.
Dharma dhatus la warba.
Madilo.
Dharma dhatus yorba. Madunga gele, ngagna.
Aleya imjo.
Dharma dhatus in the chida chingi se warba.
Aleya.
Chingi. To karse waris, the code delia, engineer ya koyanti, to seek out a madam of which of us. Caress.
Chini kuno tenero ta yigba netan tataran dawichi. Guguro.
So dharma that literally means it is a suchness, how things really are. That is the literal meaning of dharma dhatu. Of course, again, if you look at the explanations about Dharma Dhatu, then you will find a different kind of explanation depending upon a philosophical standpoints. So one philosophical standpoint will have a different interpretation with regard to the Dharma Dhatu. It is actually ultimate nature of reality. It talks about emptiness. Dharma Dhatu is emptiness. And then then when you see a different interpretation with regard to the Dhamma Dhatu, and then it is important to first differentiate the standpoints of the philosophical standpoint, I mean, the standpoints of the philosophical view. And then you will, when you find a different interpretation, then you will know, oh, this is a standpoint of Vaibhashika, or, you know, we have a major, four major philosophical views or philosophical standpoints. The Vaibhashika is the first, and then Suttantika, and then Chittamatra, and Madhyamaka. So those are the four major philosophical standpoints. So then all four of them has a, they explain about Dharma Dhatu, but they have a different way of explaining it. Say emptiness, in other words. Yeah.
I was just wondering, I feel like I'm starting to notice more subtle suffering in people. It's becoming a little bit overwhelming. I'm not sure what to do with it. It almost to the point where I feel more negative rather than positive, more defeated, more unable to help. And I've been trying
trying to think of ways that might be helpful to move away from that. But I'm not, I just want to make sure I'm on the right track, and if you have any suggestions.
Nyamung tan namja damin na tsa mangu shiwar bas. Chik ta maribu kuni lan eni chik nyamung damin na tsa yawe chik te liya toks samtang de kan liya ta chik susu kadi yinbe ne nyamung wale wongde kyo tabi tongde de kan liya ta susu su rewar ish kebsi ken mingi dar tongu dos de la kan richa wanas.
Ti nyamung yi pak kato takdwa yonno de tongi tibi तो बने नियमों दिए सुसर ने जीवन को तेरे पहल लो दिया चुप बच्चों ने मार चुका जी क्या तो बता
यूं कहा तो बताया ने कंदेस कहा तो
बताओ उन्हें तक नहीं सीखने कर से देते हैं दे
उन दागरा ले
लो हाँ
दागरा लो
सिंस तक से नियमों दे जो जीरो ने जीसुने आ तीन जी में
So now, here, you know, when we are able to discover this very subtle level of suffering, that is a good sign that you are actually discovering and recognizing this as a suffering. And then now the next step is to how to overcome the suffering. And so when it comes to the overcoming of the suffering, then, you know, let's say that if you remain like hopeless and then defeated yourself by looking at the how much negative thoughts and emotion that we have, we harbor within us, then this will not going to help us at all. It will, you know, take you, you know, further into a suffering, more suffering. But now, as a the Dharma point of view, when you discover, you know, the different kind of mental, you know, afflictions, which are the cause of all sufferings, right? So then the next step is to know how to eradicate that. There's always hope. It is not something that can be, that cannot be eradicated, regardless of how strong, how subtle, how powerful, forceful they may be. It says, the nature of all of these negative afflictions or negative thoughts and emotions are said to be advantageous. They are not permanent. Our nature of our mind is untainted by those stains. So when you have this confidence within you, then you have a hope that I have this, our mind itself, the nature of our mind is untainted by the stains or delusions or negative thoughts and emotions. So you have a hope for, you know, getting rid of all those negative thoughts and emotions. And then how to really get rid of those negative thoughts and emotions is to study Dharma.
So when and relating it to other people too, where you see somebody do something wrong, or you just see somebody sad, or and it's overwhelming you with sadness, then so then would it be to look at them, try to focus more on them having potential to get out of that as well, to kind of open to step out of that sadness?
So me shamba, shamba that tumhe naar thombe kabliya, so so madhya shungu to bas, te kabliya karche oris.
So
there's a way that you can really help, you know, to the fullest extent of your ability to try to help. You know, always try to help, and someone you think that was undergoing sufferings. And if there's no way that you can really help at this point, and there's no benefit of worrying about, so there's a way to help, always help. Cannot help, no point worrying.
And this is my question to Ganajama. Is it appropriate in situations like that, because your mind is so powerful, to make a thought or make a wish to help that person? Like if you see somebody walking along and it's a cold day and they don't have very warm clothes, to make a wish that they had warm clothes, is that a good
thing to do? Virtuous thought. It's a good thought. It's a good way of, extending your love and compassion towards a person. That's the right one, yeah.
In the same way, when you're seeing the news, something on the news TV screen about a horrible plane crash or something, making a wish that that didn't happen, you know, instead of saying, I don't have any power or something like that, you know, at least you're making a thought form and you're kind of practicing for your future Buddhahood. You know, sort of, I don't know, that's just what my thought is. You know, sort of, instead of adding to that, oh, how terrible that was and that shouldn't have happened and
all that. That jungle jungle thing there, that's what they're talking about. Like, that's the major kind of some shit. That kind of some shit, when some shit on the bus.
Then you know.
Yeah, this is a form of prayer. You know, it's praying for them, because it's not very helpful. You know, just to think, oh, well, it wouldn't have happened, but it's already happened. So once this has happened, so we have to, you know, face the reality. For us to benefit as a practitioner is to pray for them. They, you know, have it, you know.
Okay. I was trying to go back to that one thing you said one time about watching your three doors, you know, and instead of thinking how bad that pilot, you know, is for crashing that plane, you know, not to think that thought, to replace that thought with, you know, more like what you said, a prayer, or what he said, a prayer for the the people, everyone on that plane.
Should we say the dedication prayers? We'll begin with prayers after teaching at page 23 and then I'll offer at page 24 and auspicious wishes at page 29. Dagi jine sagre ye vande den dandro agama gandenda ye vande sumo dandro bhavai ten dehi ko mitu chalte sho saji bhogi joshi me trotra viravnim jini de gyanpade saje jino mite uvai yoga
Chirato